come to our body. And our soul is right between the spirit and the body. You may not realize it, but your mind, which is a part of your soul, contacts directly the spiritual realm. When Satan tempts you, he is a spirit being, you receive it as wrong thoughts. Satan is a spirit. How is it that your mind receives it? Your mind is a direct indirect contact with the spirit realm. So there's a spiritual warfare going on all the time, and we have thought about the renewal of the mind, destroying strongholds in our mind. Now here in Romans chapter 7, there are three laws that Paul talked about. From Romans chapter 7, verse 23, to Romans 8 verse 2, there are three laws that he mentioned. First, in verse 23, he said, the law in my members. And that law in my members is the law of sin and death. In Romans 7, verse 23. The law in my members, the law of sin and death in my body, in my flesh. See, our body is unredeemed. Our body is an old body that still needs redemption. When Jesus Christ comes, he will redeem our body. Right now, our body is preserved. It's not redeemed yet, it's preserved. When Jesus comes, we will receive a new body. So this physical body that we have, there is a sin nature working in this body. Your physical body left to itself will bring you to shame and to sin. Look very carefully here, Paul says in verse 23, there is a law in my members. He did not say in my head, he did not say in my emotions, he did not say in my will, he did not say in my spirit, he said in my members. Romans chapter 7, the context of the word members refer to his body. Show you the context in Romans chapter 7. Paul tells us here in verse 11, Romans chapter 7, verse 11. It says, for sin taking occasion by the commandment, deceive me and by it kill me. Now look further down where Paul's struggle is in verse 18. For I know that in me, bracket, that is in my flesh. He leaves you no room to doubt what he's talking about. He clarifies himself over and over again, repeating himself throughout this epistle, that there is a sin that dwells in my flesh, in my body. Bracket there, he says, in my body, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform with it is what is good I do not find. So there is a law that dwells in our body. There's a law that dwells in our body. All you have to do is don't do anything in the spirit realm. Your body will pull you into sin. Your body will go off by itself in its appetites, in its passions, in its wrong desires. Your body will pull your soul, and your soul is accountable to God. It did not say your body, it says your soul. Your soul, your deciding factor. See, when you die right now, supposing you die physically, your physical body drops off, your spirit and your soul goes to God, your soul is accountable to God. Deciding factor is the soul. Even though this sin dwells in our body, our soul has to decide what to do. The only problem is if your body is tremendously active and you're not doing anything in the spirit realm, it's easier for your soul to sin than to serve God. It's easier for your body to live in wrongdoing than to live in righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 6 in the context where he talks about here. He says about the members of our body in verse 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Which part is he talking about? Your body. Your body. Your mortal body, that you should obey it in its last. Do you know your body is not redeemed yet? This physical body of yours cannot see all of God's glory, because when it does, either you'll be translated or your body will just die. That's why God told Moses, no flesh can see my glory and live. That is the reason why we need a new body up there. When Jesus comes, we have a new body. Thank God for that. See, our redemption is in three parts. When you study the word salvation or redemption, throughout the New Testament, you will notice this. It talks about the redemption of the spirit, which is the past tense, the moment you accept. Then it talks about continual redemption, which is your soul. Today your soul is being renewed. Then it talks about a redemption of your body. In a twinkling of your eye, your body is transformed. So from point A, the time you accept Christ, there is your spirit is born again in a moment of time. And at point B, then when Jesus Christ comes again, your body in a twinkling of an eye in 1 Corinthians 15 will be transformed instantly. And then the Bible says in the book of James that your soul is being saved. He's in continuous tense. So there is a salvation that has taken place in your spirit and a salvation being taking place in your soul. There is your soul is being renewed when we use the word. And then there's a complete salvation when our body is transformed. Paul says, right now, our body has lust, our body has desires that need to be bridled, that need to put reins on the things of the body. Our body must not be left to itself. If left to itself, it will overcome the mind straight away. You will never reach a point of time where you have no opportunity to sin or no opportunity to fall. As long as you're in this physical flesh, physical body, you have to continually renew your mind and subject your body to the Word of God. See, Paul says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 12 very clearly, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Your mortal body has its own lust. It will, all the desires have gone haywire since Adam fell. And the body you receive is a fallen body when you were born into this earth physically. It's a fallen body. It's a body that all these desires are not in harmony with the things of God. All these passions and all the needs of your body are not in harmony with God. You have to subject it and force it to come into harmony. Paul says in verse 13, do not present your members. See, I've proven to you that in the context when Paul says members, he refers to the body. Doesn't refer to church members. Refer to your physical body, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And I like this word when he says in verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or obedience to righteousness. He's still talking about the body here. And verse 18, having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. You have to treat your body as a slave to God. Your body has to be treated as a slave to God because it's still unredeemed. It's still unredeemed, but it can be preserved. Some people take this teaching and they go to one extreme and say, therefore you can never be healthy, therefore you can never be free from sickness. No, that is wrong doctrine. Jesus has redeemed you from the curse of the law. You can live in health. You don't have to grow old, weak, and frail, full of sicknesses, and then die of some cancer, die of some kidney problem, etc. You say, if I don't have sickness, how do I die? You just go home, that's all. Who says you have to be sick to die, to go home? Bible doesn't say that. When it's time for you to go, just go. If you want a little more excitement, then die as a martyr. Go home. More excitement. And so, this physical body has its own law of sin. It has its own law of sin that constantly draw your mind and pull your mind. Your body wants attention. Your body says, oh, my need is here, my need is here. Your body cries to the mind. It has its own law of sin. Remember this all the days of your life. If you want to live a holy, righteous life, you must remember that your body needs preservation. Romans chapter 7, where we are looking at, it says in verse 23, now you understand it, brother. I see another law. Now before that, in verse 22, he says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. The inward man loves the law of God. Then in verse 23, I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. See that word there? That there is a war. Paul used the word war. Warfare. He used the word battle. There's a warfare going on. You may not realize it, but there's a warfare going between your flesh and your mind. Every day. That is why we need to meditate on God's word every day, so that the word becomes flesh unto us. The word will subject our flesh to the things of God. So our body, if you live for 1 week or 2 weeks or a month without reading the Bible, meditating on the Word of God, or prayer, you watch. Suddenly, it seems as if you are controlled by great desires for sin. But if you live continually meditating on the Word, spending a lot of time in prayer, at first, all those things that cloud your mind, that cause you to pull towards temptation, the magnetism of temptation draws you. But as you meditate on the Word of God and pray, the magnetism of temptation to sin grows weaker and weaker and weaker. And the more you read God's Word and meditate on God's Word, you will reach a point where you completely don't feel or sense the magnetism to sin, but you sense more the magnetism to God. There's a drawing in you all the time towards God, but that has to be continually maintained. Some people think that sanctification, if you study the word sanctification, they thought that sanctification is only once and for all. You study the Word of God carefully, sanctification has again three processes. There's a sanctification that is past tense, there's a sanctification that is continuous, and there's a sanctification that is eternal. And that refers to sanctification of your spirit once and for all. Jesus became your sanctification. The sanctification of your mind, continual process, and the complete sanctification and separation of your body when Jesus comes again. So we see that a continual sanctification that needs to take place in our life all the time. At first, when I was a young Christian, I did not learn all these principles. I thought that you could reach a point in your spiritual life, which is the goal of many Christians, where you could just pray, seek fast, and knock down the door of heaven or something. Until suddenly, in a moment of time, the power of God will just come down on you, and you walk out of that place a spiritual Superman. Never ever have the opportunity to sin again. From that moment onwards, you are sanctified. So I read the writings of John Wesley, who taught sanctification as an experience, and holiness as an experience in your life. I read his early writings and I read his later writings. You know the wonderful thing? He talked about sanctification as an instant process that you receive by faith in God. But also towards the end of his life, he talked about how, like Paul, he says, he's here to maintain his sanctification. So there is no such thing as being sanctified and never more with the desire towards sin. The moment you meditate on God's word and pray a lot, all those magnetisms of sin weakens, and you will reach a point where there is more desire towards the things of God than the things of the natural. But that still has to be maintained. You just leave it by itself. All you have to do is don't do anything in the spirit realm, and you find the next one week or 2 weeks, suddenly you're back to Old Kent Road. You know where Old Kent Road is? Old Kent Road is when you play Monopoly, the first square is Old Kent Road. Back to square one. Don't look at me as if you must have been playing Monopoly. No, I haven't touched it. But it's just something that you can identify with. Back to square one. But if you meditate on God's word again, you will move on and move on, move on right to the spirit stage again. You neglect, I don't care whether you're called to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or the anointing of God moves strongly in your life, you just have to neglect, and then you move back into this realm again. With the same old strong temptation. So don't be surprised in your Christian life when you've not been spending time in the spirit things, in spiritual things, suddenly you find that your old desires all come back. Of course it will. They have to be put down all the time. They are engraved, engrafted in your flesh. Paul says that. There's a law of sin that is in your body, and they continually war against your mind. But Paul has a solution. Verse 24. All wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? He talks about his body as a body of death. What a word for it. Now he's not that low down on his body all the time. At other times he says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you treat your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. But here he's referring to the sin nature that is engraved or engrafted in the body. Engrafted in every cell in your body. That is why in the early dark ages in Christianity, they saw a truth of God, but they didn't see it in its whole context. So people like Martin Luther and the early saints thought that their body is evil. Evil, evil, evil. They went to the opposite extreme as usual. I don't know why people always like to pull things to the extreme. So they say the body is so evil that they continually torment and torture the body, thinking that by that they will be more holy. Everything to do with the body is evil, evil, evil. So eating also evil lah. And everything of your body's desires also evil. So they pull it to the extreme, and Martin Luther would take whips and whip his body, chastise his body continually. And I read about the medieval ages, the Christianity in those days, and he talked about how some of those monks, saintly monks who live in those Christian monasteries, they would wear clothing as rough as possible. So rough, you cannot find it today in the supermarkets. So rough that when you wear it, it keeps rubbing your skin. It is more like wearing a porcupine inside. And I found out one day, I was laughing to myself when I read it, that actually one of those monks invented a sort of chastisement garment. And this garment, inside this garment, there are prickly, porcupine spikes. So for those who want to be holy, thou shalt be holy when you wear that garment. Because continually, every movement causes your body pain. I think that would beat all the KGB torture chambers. With tremendous health, extreme they pull, and they see their body as evil. Paul, they only saw one part, that the body is evil. They didn't see the other part. Paul say, yield your body now to righteousness. See, imagine they were stuck with their wrong teaching for hundreds of years. Until people like Martin Luther began to see justification by faith, that salvation is by grace, and John Wesley followed after him to see about sanctification. But then again, people take this sanctification through and pull it to the extreme. They pull it to the extreme and say, once saved, always saved. Once sanctified, can do anything now. Say, why you can do anything now? Because I have been sanctified. Stop there already. So they pull it to the extreme and say that they don't need continual choices in their life. And here we are, we have the advantage of history behind us. We can see one extreme of truth, see the other extreme of truth. We pull it together and we find that it's all the time there in the Bible. Paul says that this body is evil, but you can take this body and give it unto God as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 12 verse 1. What did Paul ask them to do? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your, what part? Body. Shout it out. Shout it out. Bodies. As a living sacrifice. Some people say the only problem with a living sacrifice is this. See, most of the time the Old Testament is a dead sacrifice. Do you notice that? In all the Old Testament, they never offer live animal. They kill the animal and bring it as an offering to God. Shed the blood. But here God don't want a dead sacrifice. See, in those Old Testament days, they take the dead sacrifice and the fire of God will come. Burn. Sound effects mine. They will burn those animals with fire. Now here we have the fire of God on our lives. The only problem they say we are living sacrifice is say you offer your body as a living sacrifice. You see the fire of God start coming, the living sacrifice can run. Dead sacrifice don't run, but living sacrifice can run. But yet by choice we offer our body to God as a living sacrifice. That is, God wants our body to dwell in. He wants our body sanctified continually. A daily decision. So I pointed to you very clearly when we're talking about renewal of your mind. Your worst enemy is your body. Don't always say, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't just make you do it. The devil made you do it with the help of your body. Because if you put the blame on the devil, on judgment day, you come before God, and God say, why did you do it? And you say, the devil. You become unaccountable. You're not accountable. But yet, you are accountable for every choice, every decision, every falling, or every success in your life. You are accountable. You cannot even blame it on your next door neighbor or your next door spiritual brother or sister. You cannot even blame it on the leaders. You cannot even blame it. You are accountable for yourself. You see, when people sit under the wrong teaching or sit under the wrong leadership, it is their free choice. They could have come out of it. See, in the end, we are accountable for our lives. Not anybody else. Not Tom, not Dick, not Harry. Excuse me, your name is Tom, Dick and Harry, your nice leader. Not Akal, not Ahmad, not Ramasami. You. You and you alone. Mr. Habakkuk. Atan Akal. You alone are accountable for your own life. And I make it very clear, when you talk about renewal your mind, your worst enemy is your flesh. It's your own body that you have to guard against all the time. So no wonder the Bible tells us to seek God, to fast, to pray. And I found this about fasting. Fasting is useful to subject the desires of your body, to take control of your body. If there's anything in your body that moves out by itself, you have to take control of it in fasting. One day Kenneth Hagin was seeking God and fasting and fasting and fasting and fasting, and he really fasted, and one day the Lord told him, I would that you live a fasted life. A fasted life than to a desperado attempt with God. You know what we mean by desperado attempt? People who live on 3 or 4 good meals every day. Wow. nasi biryani in the breakfast time. 10 roti canai or lunch time. And 10 naan in the evening. And top it off with a chapati in the evening. Then suddenly it comes to the things of God. Desperado attempt, they put all this aside and say, I won't eat. And you self-starve yourself. Puasa. The moment your fast broken, you attack 250 roti canai. Doesn't help. I have found this, that when your body is overfed, the passions and the things of your body draws you stronger. That is, the magnetism of your body becomes stronger than your spirit. And so it's good to live on a fasted life. Or one brother one day say, I'm fasting one meal a day. But their one meal is three meals. So they were not fasting one meal a day. They were just changing their meal time to take three meals at one time. So take note, when you talk about fasting, you really fast. Subject your body under once in a while. Subject your body under. It's good for you to do it. Subject your body under. Don't overeat and overfed yourself. You'll find that the desires of your body grow stronger so that you cannot match it. But feed your spirit. Live a fasted life. Live a fasted life. So Paul says, the law, there's a sin in my body that is there. There's a sin in my body. And every time you fast and discipline your body, the sin in the body weakens so that your spirit forces can take over your life. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Jesus lived his life as a fasted life. Many times you see that Jesus' meal time come, he's not so concerned about his meal. I mean, if you are at a point when meal time comes, you say, help, 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 meal, food, 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 please, food. Every time the 1 o'clock grandfather clock strikes, bang, he says, food, 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 like a dying man gasping for his last breath. Your body is domineering you. I can assure you, if you are that kind of person, your spiritual life never takes off. Cannot take off. And you are a person who cannot fast, you also cannot go into the realm of the spirit very much. After hearing this, don't any of you pull it to the extreme. Say, hallelujah, I'm going to subject my body. Straight away you go and puasa. Lock yourself and don't eat anything, you know, for 40 days and 40 nights. Say, I'm going to be like Jesus. There's one brother who did it in Singapore. He's in a ministry. Very desperate for the power of God in his life. And so he sought God. And sought God, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he drank only water. First day, wow. Second day, third day, fourth day come. And on the 7 or 8 day, ambulance came, carried him to the hospital. He got hospitalized. And they had to feed him through the drip. I mean, he's fasting, but now his veins are eating. See, God didn't ask him to do that. And he, for 2 years, he could hardly come out from that experience. Mentally, I mean, he reached a point of mental hallucination. See, God didn't ask him to do that. When I talk about subjecting your body, you go step by step. You don't go straight away like hero, next day becomes zero. What you should do?
train yourself.
First you just miss breakfast. Or just take fruits for breakfast. If you never fasted before. And then after that, your body get used to it. Take some, just a little bit for breakfast. Then you learn to miss breakfast. And then afterwards, you train yourself, you just take one meal. The rest of the time, you take some beverage drinks or something. Some Horlicks or Milo or something. And then, slowly the day comes where you could just miss the meal altogether. And you don't fast on water yet. You just take other fruit juices, or you take Milo or beverage drink or Horlicks. I recommend Horlicks. They did not pay me to advertise for them. But take a beverage drink, avoid coffee, avoid tea. Avoid soft drinks, avoid all these things. Just take all those things, and then your body gets trained. And then the day comes when you're ready for it. Your body is trained now. See, your body needs training. And your body is trained, then you go just on water. Just on water throughout the day. Whenever you feel hungry, and the first time you do it, you have to take gulps of water. Oh, you're hungry lah, hungry lah, hungry. Ah, okay. Go and pray. Then later your body gets used to it. Then you just take just a glass of water will do. And then you learn to fast. Then your body is trained. Say, what about gastric? The devil told you that. You won't get it, you won't ever have it. You believe it, according to your faith be unto you. So train your body. And I found this after a period of fasting and speaking by experience. You reach a point where your spiritual desires just take wings. It's like the eagle stretching forth his wings. And all you want to do is you desire the things of God so much and so intensely above your natural desire. Above every other desire in your life. So the desires of your spirit seem to take wings and soar into the things of God. And when I go deep in a fast, the desire is so intense for what I'm fasting and praying about. The spiritual thing is so intense that it occupies my mind. My mind gains a strength that it did not have before. And the wonderful thing is every time you come out of that kind of fast, your mind is stronger, your spirit is stronger, your body surrenders some more. Your body learns to live a surrendered slave life. And you always come out of it stronger. That's how you deal with that body of yours. Mortify the flesh. We'll deal some more with this subject the next week. But here we want to look at this other aspect where Paul says, that's the law of sin in your body in verse 25, Romans chapter 7. And you notice he mentions something in verse 25 that he says, I thank God. See, he said, oh wretched man, who shall deliver this me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ redeems. How does he do it? You read chapter 8 verse 11. Chapter 8 verse 11. 10 and 11. Let's read 9, 10 and 11. See, you understand all these principles. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, it's not his. If Christ is in you, the body is dead. Talking about your body. What is he talking? Your body is still alive, so is mine. He's talking about the desires, the law of sin is dead. Do you know you can kill the law of sin in your body? By spiritual forces. He said the body is dead. What is he talking about? Our body is still alive. He's talking about dead to the law of sin. The body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Then the verse 11 is the climax. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. In other words, the life of God. Your body has bios life, biological life. There are three words for life in the Greek. One is the word pneuma, zoe, that is zoe, pneuma is spirit, zoe. The other is the word psuche, and the third one is the word bios. So you really in the Greek, you understand that Paul is saying that your body has bios life, biological life. And your body has soul life. But here he says in verse 11 that God gives your body Zoe life, which is the life of God, which is spiritual life. Notice the spiritual life flows where? In verse 11, into your bodies. So we must learn how to release that spiritual life into our bodies. The spiritual life is inside your spirit, but it needs to be released through your soul into your body. He lives in your spirit. And it needs to be released through our soul into our body. And the spirit will always, always, always. The only way for the spirit to contact the body is through the soul. We'll always, always, always have to flow through the soul. There's no other way. And then your body will be transformed. And in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That was how he did it, Jesus living in us. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. That means your mind has to continually meditate on the law of God. Your mind has to continually meditate on the word of God. And your mind will get renewed to the point where you begin to be more sensitive to the things of the spirit and ignore the things of the flesh. See, your mind right now is processing your five senses. Your mind, your brain is receiving five senses from the physical realm, processing it and interpreting it. Your mind is also receiving from the spirit world. But what you do when you meditate on God's word, subject your body, you draw in the word of God into you. Feed your spirit, dwell in the things of the spirit, and it will increase the things of your soul in the spirit realm. Renew. I'll close by giving you this verse in Proverbs chapter 3. Three verses then, right? Holy Spirit. Three verses. Chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. What is he talking about? Verse 1. My son, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commandment. Turn to Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do. You know the reason why the law of God could not do it? What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. See why the Old Testament people could not succeed? The flesh was weak. So they need an inner undergirding in their mind. Didn't you realize the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind? You ever heard of expression in the epistles? We touch more on that. Gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind got loins. Strengthen the spiritual part of your mind. Then your mind will be able to withstand the pressure that comes from your body. See, there's a pressure being applied from your body to your soul. You have to have a pressure equal and more from the spirit side. So here's your soul. From this side presses the body. From this side presses the spirit. Your mind have a choice. If your mind yields to the spirit, there is more pressure on your body, you control your body. But if your mind yields to the things of the body, your mind, your soul and your body will surround your spirit, and your spirit has no freedom and liberty. You become a fleshly person. Do you realize that pressure, if equalized, becomes zero? Pressure, if equalized, becomes zero. That is the total pressure that is produced here on this side. They see the world, the people of the world are not born again, they don't have the internal pressure pressing outwards. So that's why the people of the world live in the world. They go to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the world, and the devil. And so the pressure outside is greater than, they have no pressure from inside. The only pressure they have inside is their soul, which is very weak. They make decisions, but the decision sometimes is under pressure from the outside. When you're born again, your spirit is born again, it has new life in God, Zoe life, and there's pressure coming from inside. And the more you meditate on the word, the more you pray, your spirit draw more nourishment from God. So it's like a river that flows from inside you. You draw more. When you pray, you're opening the floodgates. When you open, the pressure that flows down is greater. And when you spend time with God meditating, you're opening your spirit unto God, and your spirit draws more unto God. The pressure becomes great from inside, and you just burst forth the things of the flesh. Just flows forth from inside like a river. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your precious word. Father, we have understood more and more through your word. This mortal body of ours need to be subject to the laws of God. And we thank you, Father God, that you are going to teach your people how to mortify their body. You're going to teach your people, Father God, how to overcome the things and desires of the flesh so that they can live in the Spirit for you, Father. We give you glory, praise and honor. In Jesus' name. Let's all rise together. Lord, I will, Lord, I will. I will love you, I will praise you, Lord, I will live by your word. And as we sing that song, we want to pray for those of you who have a problem with your body. I'm not referring to just sickness. I'm talking about areas in your body where the desire is greater than you can match. And also, for those of you who are seeking to fast but you cannot fast, you cannot have a breakthrough in your fasting. You find it hard to fast, we want to pray for you. God will show you, God will strengthen you. You have an inner flooding in your spirit to fast, to seek God.
Lord, I will. Thank you.
God, I pray, oh God, that they may not know your hand. And you would impart a special